Good evening, one and all. Yes, here we are, more or less December. And this is me, Barry, with another book and a chat. Well, it's been pretty nippy here in Connecticut where I am. I felt really sorry because I know it sounds terrible, we were having solar panels put on the roof today, and these poor blokes are up there with the sort of frost and the wind and everything like that. And it just seems funny when it's that cold and you're putting solar panels on. But anyway, it was done, it was fitted. Not working yet, but it's all fitted, so that's something. But I'm here anyway, and so is my guest. Now, it's interesting when you have somebody who's been through, shall we say, we've been through what they write about, been through, came out the other side, got the T-shirt. My guest has done that, and since that time, his main goal as an author has been basically to help people find solutions for the problems and may live their lives through, well, basically spiritual principles, and make themselves and help them find a better life for themselves, just like he did himself. But I better introduce him, haven't I? Because on the show today, I have the one and only Kenny G. Down. Hi, Kenny. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful, Barry. Wonderful.
That's great. That's
Thank you.
great. I am now warmed up. I must admit, I was outside this morning, and it was, well, I was feeling the cold. Unfortunately, we got a Japanese Akita, as it is our dog, and this is her weather. If it's not 2 foot of snow, this cold, you know, she I can't get her in out of the garden. She won't come in because it's her sort of her cold weather that they're bred in the Japanese mountains for and stuff like that. But apart from that, you know, we're okay, which is good. As I said, you yourself, you know, you sort of got through some troubles, sorted yourself out, basically picked up your bed and walked and sort of came out the other side. This enables you, I think, to sort of write a lot of this, a lot of the bits you write with first-hand experience.
Yeah, that's right, Barry. You know, I've been sober since I was 28 years old. So I've been sober, and I've been sober over 30 years. So that gives the guest a little understanding of who I am. But I've had a chance to work with so many people through the years and help them to find their footing on the path, the same as I found. And I was a homeless guy. I was a heroin addict. I was an alcoholic, and I got sober, and since then I've had a chance to raise a family and have a couple beautiful children and be married long term and have a career and have a business and have some success in that kind of area, and to begin to write about those experiences. And all of my books, my experiences and beliefs are contained in every one of my books, including this most recent book, The Mirror, the Window, and the Wall.
Right, but one of the first ones was, you know, was something you know about from, you know, from what we said and what you said just then. Basically, the awaken the sleeping giant,
Yeah,
awakened.
Awakening Giant Sleeping Spirit
That's
was
the
my
one.
that was my first real full length novel, and it's a piece of spiritual fiction, although it has a lot of my own experiences are contained in that book. And the reason that I wrote it in that way was when we look back on our lives, people that have gone through a rough patch or maybe a very long rough patch in my case, a good portion of my life, and come out the other end of that, when we look back on it, we see that nobody recovers in isolation, that each one of us has a number of people that help us. And so I took all of these people that had helped me along the way, and I put them into one character, a guy I call in the book Gary Gold People, and he's a city bus driver that drives a bus, and people come aboard his bus and into his presence and begin to hear him say things and give some advice to people and help people along the way. They become infatuated with the guy, and they begin to ride his bus, not for the destination, but for the experience. So it's very metaphorical in that way. And that was my first book, and that's really propelled me to become an author. That book did very well. It still sells well, and people, I still get comments from people often on the big change that they were able to make in their lives, or the motivation that they found, the inspiration they found out of that book. And that contains a lot of my personal experiences with pure, simple recovery.
Interesting that you did it in that format, rather than a sort of a, you know, seven things to help you live better sort of type thing, to actually do it into a novel. Because I found, you know, with a lot of people we've had on the show, that whether it's abuse, whether it's illness, whether, you know, whatever it is, if they do it as a novel, the person reading it basically puts themselves in the position of the character. They can, you know, they sort of, it wakes something up in them, and they sort of, as they read it, they're basically, you know, thinking, okay, this is me. And that way I believe that they sort of take things in a lot more and understand things a lot more and appreciate things a lot more, because it, as they read it, they're relating it to themselves. Is this something that you found?
Yes. Not only have I found that, but that's been my experience. I just love the way that these books are written, and that's the thing that I've always been drawn to, is there are plenty of the next six steps you can do, or
yeah,
the three most important things, or the seven greatest habits of successful people, or these kind of things, and they tend to be textbook in nature.
Mm.
But these books that I write are designed to be entertaining, and I found a real gift in being able to do that. These are page turners. People, you read, if you want to see what's going to happen next, and that's not something you get out of a textbook. Those books tend to be a lot of information and very little on the experience. So when I write about the experience, and I put it into a story that's entertaining. So you're being entertained along the way, but as you're reading, you're putting yourself in the place of those,
yep,
characters, exactly like you said, Barry. And you're having the same spiritual experience that's being described by the people that are having these awarenesses for the first time that are described in this book. You're right there with them.
Exactly. And I always believe that that's a lot better to get a message over like that when the person can do that. When the person can sort of put their own life, or their own, you know, bring back memories of stuff that's happened to them, or that, you know, friends or what have you, as they read it. So I think that's great the way you've done that. Your new book, as you said, is The Mirror, The Window and The Wall. And this is basically, well, what you explain, what's the main aim of this new book of yours?
Well, just like my other books, this book is written from a place of a short little story about a woman who discovers the mirror, the window, and the wall. And these are metaphorical meanings, and they are, the mirror is the, what we see when we look at ourselves, the way we view ourselves in our life. And oftentimes that's not the truth, nor is it even near the truth. What we might see because of past trauma, or the nature of our family of origins, or other problems that we've had, or sickness, these kinds of things, is that we begin to see something that isn't true. The truth about all of us is that we're loving children of the world of the spirit, and we have a purpose here and a place, and we have a heart's desire. We desire some of the same things. We're brothers and sisters with everyone. But when we look in the mirror, we see these issues with, I'm not good enough, and a lot of these are placed on us against our will by society. That you got to have a certain car, you got to wear certain clothes, you got to have a certain haircut, or use certain products, or eat certain types of things, and it's almost overwhelming with our society today, in particular, that when we put so much pressure on ourselves, and we put pressure on us from society, and we have these events from our past that dictate what we see in the mirror. So that was the first thing.
Yeah, and that, if I may, that is, you know, a big thing. People live, half the time they live life as a facade. It's what they believe and what they've been told, and it's not themselves. They sort of cover up themselves, It's like a lot of people I've had come on the show have been in sort of say an abusive relationship or a relationship where there was no love. It was just not right. And there's a song by French singer Charles Aznavour, and one of the lines in that song is, "You've got to learn to leave the table when love's no longer being served." And when you think about that, that's true. People stay in these relationships because perhaps their parents had something similar, or their mother, or what have you, or because what will people say, or they're more worried about what everybody else sees, says, and stuff like that, and they're not living themselves. They're not being true to themselves, and that's one of the big things that obviously you do when you get to the mirror part. It's looking at yourself, not the image that's portrayed.
That's exactly right. And you've got it. You know, we've got these relationship issues. For me, it was the drugs, the alcohol. For some people, it's overeating. It's gambling. It's sex and dishonesty. It's, you know, all of these things. It's in and out of relationships, in and out of relationships. One bad relationship with another. It's all the same thing. These are self-harming behaviors. And a lot of it is based on what we think about ourselves, which is the mirror. The wall is the other piece of this. The mirror, the window, I should say. The window is the other piece of this before we get to the wall. But the window is, if we believe these things about ourselves that aren't true, but we believe them, we're going to present ourselves in a way that we don't want anybody to know those things about us. So we begin to wear a mask, a persona in our life, and we're presenting only this window that we hold in front of us with our hands, and we only let people see what we want them to see, and we try to control what other people think of us. Because isn't that one of our greatest fears, the fear of what other people think?
Yeah.
And so we try to control that, and that is exhausting. That's how people end up at the end of their wits. They end up wondering, what am I doing with my life? Because we spend so much time on those things that we don't want to be doing, because we think that that's going to make us appear a certain way. We spend time doing things we don't want to do at the expense of those things that we do want to do, or at the expense of our heart's desire, which is a very slow suicide if you go down that path of trying to please everybody else. And it's, you know, there's freedom from that. And it's not the freedom like just the arrogant, oh, I don't care what that person thinks. I don't give a hoot what that person thinks or anybody thinks. That's the error, but it's the spiritual place of being well grounded and knowing that I'm going to pursue my heart's desire regardless of what anybody says or does or thinks.
Right, indeed. So where does the wall come in?
The wall is when this mirror, these are those three things that I really have discovered that I think block most of us, the mirror, the window. The wall is this compartmentalization of our lives where we're going to be one person and we're going to play one character role when we're at work. When we're with our family, we play a different character. When we're with our friends, we play one set of character. And then when we're with a different set of friends, we're somebody else. Mm-hmm. And we compartmentalize and put up these walls in our lives instead of just being the same person. And that's one of the things that I found is so freeing, is I am the same person when I'm with my neighbors or my friends, or whether I'm working or whether I'm with my family. I'm the same person. And that wasn't always the way it was. And the other thing we do is we build up walls between ourselves and individual people, not just groups of people. But we may say, well, that person's an enemy, I'm going to build a wall, or these people that believe that are my enemy. We get these great divides like we see in our society. So the wall really is when the mirror and the window start failing us and we're not able to be in full control, we start building up these walls.
Right. You know, supposedly defensive walls, but it's not. It's hiding the true you. And everything that goes with it. It's interesting because one of the things when I've sort of done sort of talks, you know, to authors and stuff like that, and they, one of the things they said, you know, what sort of hint, you know, what tips can you, you know, give us and that. And one of the things I've sort of said pretty early on was, you've got to have belief in yourself. You've got to have faith in yourself, because I know a person who wrote a book, and I was at one of these sort of book places where everybody shares their books, and it was quite a nice, yeah, quite a good story. Anyway, they finished this book, and they then went to one of these seminars, and they had a guest speaker, and the speaker said, "Oh, you've got to do it this way, and you've got to do it this way, and you've got to do it. Yeah, these characters are got to be like this and that." And they went and rewrote their book. And it was to sort of match what they were told. They then later on went to another seminar and somebody else told them something different. So when it came to finally, when they thought their book was ready, there wasn't much left of that actual person in the book. They were sort of not being true to themselves and being what they thought that other people said, you know, they had to do with their book. And same is, like you're saying, with life.
Well, gosh, that you articulated that so beautifully, Barry, that it's so true that you know, we have to write from the heart. You know, if you start writing from the intellect, you're gonna lose your path. It has to be what is in your heart, you know, that, and for me, you know, I try to access, you know, the spiritual world, or try to come from a place to make that more simple and not sound so airy, is to say that I try to come from a place of just being grounded in meditation and prayer and thoughtfulness when I write. And when I do that, I feel like I'm just holding the pen and the words flow. If I'm too hung up on trying to please somebody else or do something is going to be successful, then I'm way off track. And I can tell when I'm writing that I'm off track here. I'm trying to write the same as trying to tell a story to somebody. And,
yeah.
You know,
It's
not flowing. You're giving a talk in front of a big group, but instead of talking to the group, you're worried about what your brother who's sitting in the crowd or your mother who's sitting in the crowd is thinking, or your friend. And so you're giving a talk for them rather than giving a talk for all.
Right. I know in The Mirror, The Window and The Wall, one of the things you suggest to people is that they read it more than just once. I mean, it's, you know, it's a smallish book, and because it's the sort of thing you can, every time you read it, you can not only see how yourself's going, but also you can pick up things perhaps you missed the first time. Is this the aim of suggesting that?
It is that I suggest in this book, and it's a could be called a booklet or a novella. It's a very small book. You can read this entire thing sitting down in 25 or 30 minutes. And my recommendation in the foreword of the book is that you read it every day for 7 days. And that 7 days is kind of representative of a complete cycle or a week. And read it every day for 7 days. And then do some meditation on it. What I mean by that is just contemplate or think about what it is that you read and how it applies to you. And then write a sentence or two or a paragraph or two. And if you'll do that, each time you read it, it's written in a way. There's no way in reading this book one time, even though it's a short book, it packs a real deep spiritual punch. And there's no way practical to get everything this book has to offer out of one reading. So it's meant for that. It's meant to be short. It's meant to be simple. But it has this deeper meaning. And each time you read it, you see another layer, as they say, peeling the layers off an onion. You get down to the core of what the book is about.
Right. The Mirror, The Window and The Wall, The Life-Changing Power of Finding Your True Self, has a female lead. And, of course, your other book, Darko, Sacred Heart of... Joni Darko.
The Heart of Johanny Darko.
Yeah. Again, you know, the female lead, the female, you know, basically looking for a Joan of Arc, I believe it is. Is this something you subconsciously came to, or do you find it easier to sort of work through that female lead part?
Well, I think it's both. When I wrote Darko, The Sacred Heart of Wen Johanni Darko. I wrote that book because of the fascination that I had with Joan of Arc. And I started beginning to think, what if there was a Joan of Arc for our times, but instead of fighting the English, which she did, and fighting the English and freeing France, this new Joan of Arc would fight social justice and environmental justice issues. So that, by necessity, had to be, I was fascinated with that idea, and it had to be a young, you know, Joan of Arc was the supreme leader of the military, of the French army, and won battles and was injured in battle and had, you know, visions and religious experience and everything. And she was 19 when she died. So she accomplished all that before she was 19 years old.
Right. Amazing.
And so I had to be a female, had to be a young character. And I felt that flowed really well. When I thought about the mirror, the window, and the wall, this is written from a character that I called Darlene. And Darlene was a real person, and I thought, tried to think, who do I know that I could use to help me write this book, that I could channel, and this was a woman that I knew that absolutely got totally free of the mirror and saw her true self. She got free of the window, this desire we have to control what other people think and this view that we have of the world when we are doing that. And the wall that she broke, she was the same person, just open and honest and loving and caring no matter where she went or who she was. I never once saw her change to fit somebody else's desire for her to be something other than she was.
Interesting. It came out, August, I think, The Mirror, the Window, and the Wall. What sort of response have you received?
It's been fantastic. Of all the books, this one is doing the best. And I didn't really expect that. I wrote a short version of this, just a little piece, and I published that on my website just as a blog, and talked about it a little bit in a video, and I wrote some stuff, and I just put it on my website as just a little short piece for people to read. And somebody said to me, hey, this needs to be turned into a little booklet. So I expanded on the story, brought in the character of Darlene and some of these things, and wrote that story, and it's done phenomenally. Doesn't a day go by that I don't hear from a reader of The Mirror, the Window, and the Wall that's having a life-changing experience because of it? So
that's terrific.
Thrilled and humbled and really honored by how well it's been.
That's great. Obviously, it just shows you that you've managed to not only share with people, on a level that the people can understand and can learn from. So I think that's great the way you've done it.
Yeah, it's been great. And that was exactly my motivation and my effort behind doing this, was to provide something that somebody could sit down with. If you ride the bus to work, you can sit down and read it.
Right,
trip into work, or you can read it on your lunch break. You can read it at night, sit up in your bed, read the whole thing, and then I suggest, of course, you do the meditation and the writing after.
Right,
indeed
so. Have you got any plans for a next book?
I do. I'm currently writing a book that's, I'm sitting here in my room of my house in Seattle, which is about a mile or less from Fisherman's Terminal in Seattle, and when I was in business, I was in the seafood and shipping business. So I'm combining that experience that I had with years when I was going to sea, and I was a fisherman in Alaska, with another piece of spiritual fiction. So this story will be about a captain that has an old boat that's broke down, and he can only get a certain type of crew because he's got the oldest boat, has the reputation of not catching people, not making that much money, but that's exactly the kind of guys he's looking for.
Yes.
He's looking for the broken down, the people that need a hand up.
Right.
He's looking for people who are suffering, and he hires those crew, and as they go up to Alaska and come back, between the trip from the Navy Fisherman's Tournament, they get back, they're having these life-changing events and life-changing experiences through the teachings of this captain. So I call it the Bering Sea Messiah.
Right. Well, that sounds good. And it's been great chatting to you, but time has whizzed by, as it always does. So what I'm going to do now, Kenny, is hand the show over to you. You can tell everybody where they can find more about you and, of course, about your books.
Well, thank you so much, Barry. And the time did fly by. I really enjoyed our conversation, so thank you so much. So my books, The Mirror, The Window, and The Wall, and my other books that were mentioned, they're all available on any online book platform you go to. If you go to Barnes & Noble or Ingram Spark or Amazon, you can find my book just by searching author Kenny Down, and you'll find my books. And you can also go to my website. My website is newthoughtlife.org, all one word, newthoughtlife.org. You'll find not only my books, but you'll find some videos and some teachings and some vlogs and writings and some poetry that I've done, and you'll find enough there to keep you occupied quite a while.
Well, that's great. Well, Kenny, thank you so much for being a guest today. It's been really great, really enjoyed it, and I'm sure a lot of the audience have as well. So good luck with the books, and perhaps when your next one comes out, you'll come back and chat to us again.
I sure will. I'd be happy to, Barry. Thanks a lot, and God bless.
My pleasure. Thank you. Well, there you go. My guest today, Kenny G. Down, with the middle letter G, Kenny G. Down. And we've been talking about his latest book, which is The Mirror, The Window, and The Wall, The Life-Changing Power of Finding Your True Self. Very interesting, and I'm sure a lot of people, from what we've heard from Kenny anyway as well, a lot of people have found it very helpful, and hopefully, you know, looking to turn their own lives around as well. Well, that's it. I'll be back again tomorrow. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...